The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 84, verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 84, our Lord Jesus teaches us that the greatest thing in life is to know God and to enjoy the blessings of trusting in Him and worshiping Him and communing with Him and serving Him. The only way to know God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, and Him crucified. We cannot live apart from the Lord. How blessed are all those who are part of the assembly of God's people and who come to the house of the Lord to worship Him and to learn of Him and to know Him as He has revealed Himself in His Son and by His Holy Spirit in His Word. Your most priceless possession is your own soul. Your own soul will be homeless and always restless until it finds a home at God's altars, in God's house, in God's presence, where God reveals Himself and His glory and His grace to sinners. Here in verse 3 of Psalm 84, the Lord Jesus gives us a lovely picture of who the Lord is for His people. Let us look closely at this verse and learn what the Lord teaches us through this beautiful picture. First, what do we see in this precious picture? We often see all kinds of birds flying around from place to place. The birds are busy finding food to eat. In the spring, the birds build nests in which to rest and be safe, and lay their eggs and brood their young. The young will also be safe in that nest, so that the mother can leave them for a short time to find food, to bring it back to them, so that they may eat and grow strong and be healthy. A bird has such a fine instinct to look for a quiet and peaceful place to build its nest. This is the picture which the Lord Jesus Christ paints for us here in this verse. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. It is remarkable that the Lord mentions these two birds in this verse. What do we know about these two birds? First, consider the swallow. The swallow is so graceful in flying. It is a delight to watch a swallow twisting and turning effortlessly as it searches for food to eat. For many centuries, people have had a high regard for the swallow. The swallow loves to build its nest right at a person's house or barn. It seems to prefer to be close to people. There have been farmers who, before they shut the door of their barn each night, first look to see if the swallow is in its nest. And if the swallow is not yet in its nest, then the farmer comes back a little later to shut the door. The swallow is a beautiful bird. People have often considered the swallow to be part of their home and family, having the right of hospitality. What can we say about a sparrow? A sparrow is only a sparrow. People tend to have negative feelings about sparrows. They are the least significant birds. They patter around the place and pick at whatever food they can find. Then they flutter to the next spot. A swallow is a beautiful bird. Many people think of the sparrow as only a nuisance, a poor, miserable creature fluttering around that is noisy, aggressive, and peevish. People do not think of a sparrow as a housemate, but more as an unwanted migrant. A sparrow is a tiny bird, hardly worth any attention. Do you remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31? Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Here in our text, the Lord Jesus speaks of both the sparrow and the swallow. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. What is the picture that the Lord Jesus sets before us in this verse by these two birds? Which bird comes first in our text? Not the swallow, but the sparrow, which most people regard as the most insignificant, least noticed, and scruffiest bird of all. Here in our text, the Lord Jesus speaks first about the sparrow, that little bird that just flutters around and looks for something to eat, a speck here and a speck there. Otherwise, it would die. In our text, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about the sparrow as a picture of a man, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl who feels unwanted, unloved, and considers himself also to be not worth anything, worthless. In this verse, Jesus pictures the sparrow and therefore that man, that woman, that child, as one who steps forward and says, "I'm worthy of something too. I also have the right of belonging to the household of God. For my Savior does not despise even one of these little ones, not even the least. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He leaves the 99 sheep in the fold and he goes to the mountains to seek the one that is straying. When he finds that little lost lamb, he rejoices more over that little lost lamb than over the 99 that did not go astray. It is my Father's will that not even one of the least of these little ones should perish. My great shepherd will not break the bruised reed, nor will he quench the smoking flax. I too may have a home in the house of God, at his altars." That is the beginning of our text. Even the sparrow has found a home. Not only the swallow, but even the sparrow. The bird that many people have negative feelings towards. The sparrow may take refuge and find a home in the house of the Lord, right at God's altars. If it were not in the Bible, we might not even dare to say anything like this. But our text says it. Even the sparrow has found a home. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts. Even the sparrow. What is that? That is the sovereignty of God's mercy, not only for swallows, but first of all, for sparrows. And then we may say with the Lord, there is no difference between a sparrow and a swallow. The Lord says in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, there is no difference between sinners. God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. In fact, the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Perhaps you think, I hear what the Lord is saying. Both find a home in the house of God at His altars. The highly regarded swallow and the more common sparrow considered worthless by many. The bird that is a housemate and the migrant bird that has no right. They both find a home in God's house at His altars. If that is the case, should not the Lord Jesus have said it differently? Should the Lord Jesus not have put it the other way around? Should He not have said the swallow finds a home in God's house at His altars, and even the sparrow finds a little place to rest too? That is perhaps how we would be inclined to put it. First, consider the swallow, the beautiful bird, the housemate, and then the sparrow. First, the swallow has a right to protection, and he has been given confidence in the Lord. Spiritually, he has a wide entrance into the grace of God. Once we have said that, then we can take the next step and say, look at how merciful God is, even for the sparrow who is so insignificant. Regardless of what you or I may think, or what you or I would have said, this is the word of God. This is how our Lord Jesus puts it. This is how the Holy Spirit of God puts it right here in verse 3 in Psalm 84. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The sparrow is first. The sparrow has priority. The Lord first speaks of the little ones, the least, the insignificant, the ones who are not. They have priority at God's altars in His house. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If anyone here says, oh, this is too great for even for me, then I may take you by the hand and say, come in, my brother, to the altars of God in His holy house of worship. Come along, my sister. Come in, young people. Come in, little ones, even babes. How worthless you may sometimes think you are. Come in, for even the sparrow has found a home. I repeat with the Lord Jesus, there is no difference. If there is no difference with the Lord, then the Lord gives the sparrow priority over the swallow. Why? Because the Lord cares most of all, and He cares the best for those who can least do without His care and his mercy and his grace and his love. That is the principle of our text. This evening we meditate on the secret of God's grace. The secret of God's grace is that his grace runs so entirely different than we might have thought or than we might have expected. It breaks the barriers that we have put up. God is sovereign in his grace, and he makes room for the sparrow, first of all, and secondly, for the swallow. And that brings us to the second point this evening. Let us look at the place where the sparrow and the swallow find a home. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Think with me for a moment about the nest of a little bird. Children, perhaps you have looked into a nest where a bird has been sitting. Your father or mother said to you, "A mother bird has been laying eggs in this nest." And you said, "May I see?" Your father or mother lifts you up, and you can look right into the nest when the mother bird is away. And there you see one little egg, or two little eggs, or three little eggs. That nest looked like such a beautiful place, such a soft place. What is a bird without a nest? What is a bird without a refuge? What is a bird without a home? A nest means safety, security. A nest is a home. A bird without a nest is a fugitive, homeless. It must fly around all the time and find no place to rest. Do you remember when Noah was in the ark after the flood? The water was going down. Noah thought, "Perhaps I can let one bird go out." He sent out a raven, which kept going back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. Do you remember? And then one day Noah sent out a dove from the ark. And the dove flew away, but she returned to Noah at the ark, because the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. That is the thought here in our text. We sinners have no place of rest apart from the grace of God. How great God's blessing to us is in showing us these very things and revealing these wonderful truths to us. What a blessing it would be if all of us would truly discover and learn that there is no rest for us in the things of this world. That with all the things that you might ever have in this world, of which there are many, there is no place where you can rest your feet. There is no eternal home for you here in this world where, with all of its many things and its many attractions and all its ideas and all its glamour and glitter. There is no eternal home for you where you may rest in this life and for all eternity except at the altars of God in the Lord's house. This life is nothing but a continuing death. There is a place of rest. There is a place where the weary and the sinful soul may find refuge, and where you can be safe with God and with his Christ. It is a place where the least little bird can hide underneath the care of God, under his wings, under the shadow of his wings, and be safe from the storms and all the restlessness in this world, and be safe from the eternal wrath and judgment of God upon you for your sins. You do not need to keep on wandering and being unsettled, homeless, restless. Have you ever looked at a swallow's nest? You see how solid a swallow's nest is? It's such a sturdy nest. It seems that neither rain nor storm could move it. That nest is safe and secure. Have you ever looked at the nest of a sparrow? It's made of loose grass and weeds and some bark. It seems that the first gust of wind will just blow it away. Notice that here in our text it says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. How remarkable, congregation. The Lord is saying that the sparrow receives what it needs the most and is promised the most. The swallow does not suffer any want either. The swallow has a strong and sturdy nest, but the sparrow is given rank. A secure home at God's altars in His heavenly house. His house of worship. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said as He began the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God admits to His presence in His house, especially those who lack liberty. The focus is not on the birds here, but on the all-surpassing riches of God's grace. If we only focus on the sparrow and the swallow, then we focus on man. But in our text, the Lord Jesus Christ extols the grace of God. His great grace. Both the sparrow and the swallow need the very same thing. They both need the great grace of God. They both need a home at the altars of God in His house. We need a place, a house, a nest, right at God's altars in His house. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Do you see this? The Lord Jesus Christ paints for us the picture of a sparrow and a swallow who may find a home at God's altars, in His holy temple, in the house of God, where there are the ordinances of God. The sparrow and the swallow may have a place right at God's altars where the priests would offer holy sacrifices to the Lord. The priests see those birds, and they do not chase them away. Here the holy ministry of God and of His grace is taking place. Not only does the priest allow these birds to find a place to rest, but the Lord Himself allows these birds to find a place to rest, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How can this be? What is the Lord picturing here for us? In the Old Testament, there was the altar of burnt offering. A lamb was sacrificed and burned on that altar. That pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world by His sacrifice of Himself on the cross. Psalm 102, verse 7 says, the Lord Jesus Christ became as a lonely sparrow on the housetop. During His public ministry here on this earth, He had to lament, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Jesus wandered as a homeless man on this earth. He suffered what sparrows and swallows deserve. He hung on the cross at Golgotha, and He cried out, in the words of Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, oh, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why are You so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but You do not hear, and in the night season and am not silent. On the basis of Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness, the Lord invites sinners in the gospel. He invites you and me tonight. He says, come to Me. I give you a place of rest. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 31, the Lord says to us, here is a place by Me, and you shall stand on the rock. Every sinner may come. They may all come to Jesus, the sparrows and the swallows, and find a home right at the altars of God in His house. The altar is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die for the sins of His people who are as sparrows and as swallows. He bore the wrath of the eternal God on the altar for the sins of His people. He was forsaken, like the lonely sparrow on the housetop, that there might be a place for sparrows and for swallows in the house of the Lord, at the altar, at the cross. Is that not where we love to dwell? At the cross. The Lord's Supper is a divine picture of the cross. This is My body, which is broken for you. This is My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. What is baptism but a picture of the water that cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins by His blood shed on the cross and by the application of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ to us by the Holy Spirit, who washes our soul in regeneration and cleanses our hearts and lives by the washing of water with the Word, as the Spirit sanctifies us and enables us to die to our sin and to live unto Jesus Christ in righteousness. The Spirit of God prepares our hearts for His work of grace and shows us our need of Christ the Savior and of His sacrifice of Himself on the cross on the altar of burnt offering. Our text says, even Your altars, O Lord of hosts, My King and My God. How many altars were there in the temple? There was one altar of burnt offering in the outer court, and there was another altar, the altar of incense, in the holy place, in front of the veil that covered the Holy of Holies. The priest would take coals from the altar of burnt offering, and he would put them on the altar of incense in the holy place before the Ark of the Covenant, for the holy presence of God in the Holy of Holies. Then he sprinkled incense on the hot coals on the altar of incense, and the smoke would rise up as a fragrant smell to God. On the basis of the burnt offering, the prayer would go up to God. And God would be pleased to hear the prayer of the priest who represented the people of God. Brothers and sisters, that is an earthly picture. That the Lord Jesus Christ not only died on the cross at Calvary, but on the basis of his death and his sacrifice of himself, he rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven, and there he ever lives to present the prayers of his people on earth and to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Think of that. Even the sparrow has found a home. And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, plural. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. This speaks both of Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross, and also the prayers of Jesus, our great high priest, on our behalf, pleading his own righteousness, pleading his own merit for us to the Father. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. To do what? To lay her young right at God's altars. Parents, that is what you must do. God has given these children to you. Take these children to the house of God. Bring them here twice every Lord's Day. Take them along. Teach your children what the house of God is all about. The altar of burnt offering is where you should have died forever. Daddy too. Mama too. But Daddy, by dying, could not save you. God sent another as a burnt offering, his only begotten Son, and he is now in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And on the basis of his sacrifice, he ever lives to make intercession for you, my son, my daughter, my grandchild, my great-grandchild. Parents, God has given to you one of the greatest blessings in life, children. Sometimes you think, oh no, what did we get ourselves into? Children are a great blessing from the Lord. But God also gives us the greatest duty, to take our young ones to God. At home too. Take time to teach your children about the sparrow and the swallow and the altars in God's house. And that no matter how far we and our children may fall into sin, there is room at God's altars in God's house for anyone who comes to him in true faith and repentance. That is your duty, parents. You will find that God honors his own promise. Seek him much. And teach your children to seek him much. And that is true for all of us. It is true for grandparents and great-grandparents. Bring your grandchildren. Bring your children. Bring your great-grandchildren to the house of God. Be busy for your children until the very last day. It never stops here in this life. You can never say they're on their own. I cannot be bothered. No, bring your children to the Lord. When you see them go off into the world, bring them to God in prayer. He ever hears. If you but plead his mercies and plead his promises, you have a solemn duty. If you come short in your duty, and who does not come short? God will require of you what you have done with your young. But with the Lord is abundance of grace, and you will not be put to shame. Come to the altars of God, and there make your home with the Lord of hosts, with your Savior, my King and my God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm, a precious psalm, a psalm with such vivid pictures by which you teach us such important truths and lessons. Lord, how lovely are your tabernacles. Our soul longs, yes, even faints for your courts, O Lord, for your house. Our heart and our flesh cry out for you, the living God. For Father, in your house, at your altars, you make a home even for the sparrow. You make a nest for the swallow, where these who represent sinners may bring their young ones right to your altars, where the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is offered, and where Christ, the great high priest, ever lives to pray for us and for our children and our children's children. We thank you, Father, for your covenant of grace. We thank you that you are our King and our God, and you are the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. Oh, Father, may we see the abundance of your grace. May we see our need to have a home, a place of rest and refuge and protection and safety in your house, in your presence, at your altars, and to bring our children there too. For otherwise we wander homeless, without any place to put our feet, restless until we rest in you. O Lord, show us the beauty of that rest. Show us the beauty of your house, and increase our love for you and for your presence and for your worship and for your people and for your house, and our desire and longing that we and our families, our children, and our children's children, and even as many as it pleases you to call unto yourself, we have a home, a place to put our feet, a place of rest and refuge with you at your altars, in your eternal house, not just in this life, but in this life and also for all eternity. And we pray in Jesus' name, who alone is worthy. Amen.